are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, February 7th, and happy trade deadline day to the Pistons fans and NBA fans out there today. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the league for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, along with all sorts of other sports, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and thank you for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to break down the Pistons' second trade in as many days, as Stanley Johnson was on the move on Wednesday afternoon. I also want to bring up a kind of an unpleasant truth that might be the result of what we're talking about here with these trades these last couple days, a realization that I've made, and maybe something to keep in mind in the back of your mind as we watch the Pistons the rest of the way. Also got some listener feedback as well, including a new voicemailer. We love the new voicemailers. And I wanted to maybe reach out and look for some more new voicemailers and also some of the other voicemailers as well. Just something I've been thinking about, wanted to bring up with you guys, and that's the soul of the Detroit Pistons. Are we making the right types of move when we're thinking about the culture of the Detroit Pistons, past, present, and future? Are these moves that the Pistons are making helping to reestablish that culture? Or is it something that is overblown by people like me that have kind of a little bit of a poetic look at these kind of things? Is it more black and white than what I talk about? What does that mean? The culture of the Detroit Pistons, is that just a relic of the past? We'll talk about that maybe for a second at the end of the show tonight to touch on it, but I wanted your thoughts on it on the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546. You can leave a voicemail on that number, again, 810-666-1546. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and also check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. If you leave a voicemail on that Google Voice line, keep it under 2 minutes, and also leave your name and where you live as well. So, started a discussion on the Pistons subreddit, by the way, and there was another one started as well on Wednesday. I started the one with the link to Tuesday or to Wednesday's podcast, and some of you guys had some really nice things to say about the Locked On Pistons podcast and what we're doing here hosting it. I just wanted to say thanks for that, and also keep spreading the word about the show if you would, and also, you know, I feel like we've gotten over a little bit of a hump here with the show, and I wanted to say thanks to you guys for, you know, keeping with us through the early days. I know it was tough audio-wise, and I wasn't a great host early on, as you might expect with someone just kind of starting their first podcast daily. So I guess, most of all, thanks for not listening to the first year or so if you're one of the new listeners. And if you were and you've stuck with us, thanks for sticking with us over all those years. We're going to keep doing better and better with the show. I know we've gotten away from guests a little bit lately, but we're just doing this trade deadline stuff hard with all the rumors and what's going on. We'll get back on that. I'm going to try to catch someone to talk about Thon Maker sometime possibly on Friday's show. So we'll let you know if that comes up. But today we'll just kind of give my thoughts on the deal. Like I said, another deal on Wednesday. This one even more surprising than the one on Tuesday night. And that Wednesday afternoon, Woj dropped the bomb that Stanley Johnson is on his way out of town, and that Thon Maker of the Milwaukee Bucks was coming to Detroit. When I saw that Woj bomb, my initial reaction was, okay, what else is Detroit including in this deal? And the fan in me was kind of hoping that would be like just the second rounder that the Pistons gave up or got the previous night from the Lakers, and not the second rounder from this spring that the Pistons have. Maybe that would be a little bit too much. But I even had a fear that the Pistons would give up a first round pick in this deal, and that maybe Milwaukee would balance it out with a second rounder or two of theirs. But no, the good news was this was a straight up deal. Thon for Stanley Johnson. Easy peasy there. So looking back, I mean, it kind of makes sense. It is a little decent move for Milwaukee for their future and for their present, kind of clearing their cap sheet this summer if they'd like of that move, but also giving themselves kind of a defensive presence for the playoffs this year. And it's also a good move for Detroit looking forward. I think it's one of those moves that works for both teams. I know with the Lakers move that the Pistons, or a lot of Pistons fans out there thought the return wasn't quite enough for Reggie Bullock. Certainly a position that's very defensible. I kind of like the fact that they made the deal, and yeah, but I do kind of agree that it might be a little bit light, and we'll see how Svi kind of fits into this team present and future here. But Thonmaker basically demanded a trade a few weeks back, and I remember reading the articles about that and doing a little bit of cursory trade machine type of actions and seeing if that would fit in. So couldn't really find much there. I thought that Thonmaker's value would be a lot more than Stanley Johnson straight up on the trade market. But, you know, when you make those trade demands, that hurts your value there, and those situations don't usually end well. And it's a guy who hasn't played, you know, even last year was his high minute of his career, and he's only been about 16 minutes a game. So it's not a guy who's played a lot for the Milwaukee Bucks. And with Stanley Johnson, they're getting the defensive versatility and a guy, you know, a guy that can go toe-to-toe with a Kawhi Leonard and a Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler and Tyreke Evans and, you know, all the teams that have the great wing defenders that you got to watch in the Eastern Conference playoffs, or the great wing offensive players, as you say, like the Svi Mikhailiks out there, you know, all the teams that have those great players that you got to watch out in the East playoffs, of course, tongue-in-cheek that the Pistons are going to be there. But in Stanley, the Pistons are giving up on the eighth player drafted in 2015, just 22 years old right now. And while it's tough to give up on a guy in his early 20s, a lot of that has to do with the fact that his three-point percentage never got out of the late 20s. He's a career 29% shooter, you know, defensively strong, but maybe not as consistently impactful and dominant as you might hope defensively at times there. Wasn't an elite defensive player, I guess is what I'm saying. Not the every night difference maker that you would kind of hope for someone who struggles so much offensively to kind of make up for it on that end. And we'll talk more about Stanley in the coming days. But Thonmaker, the 10th pick of the 2016 draft, he is apparently 21 years old, but there are the Thonmaker age truthers out there, so we will see. He's from the South Sudan. Went to high school in Canada, a legit 7'1", 221 pounds, so pretty much rail thin, but we'll see if he can pack the pounds on as time goes on. 4.7 points per game, 2.7 rebounds this season. Those numbers, his points, his rebounds, and his minutes per season have just kind of stagnated and plateaued in his three seasons with the Milwaukee Bucks. But most importantly, he's under club control. He's a $3.6 million salary this year, $5.1 million next year, and then he'll go into restricted free agency the following summer if the Pistons pass along the $4.9 million qualifying offer. If you make that one-year $4.9 million offer, then you retain the restricted free agent rights, and then he goes onto the open market, and you can match any offer that any team gives him. Or at that point, the Pistons can still offer a long-term contract of their own. So it's a nice piece to have, that club control. And he's 1 year back on his timeline than Stanley Johnson was. So you kind of take the one more year that you have him guaranteed next year, and then the situation that you would have had this summer with Stanley Johnson, you'll have that next summer in 2021 with Thonmaker. So you're basically bumping the clock back a year there. With the restricted free agency. I checked in with my buddy John, a Milwaukee Bucks fan. The first thing he mentioned was that Thonmaker has small and bad hands. So I'm sure that's something that we'll get used to and get familiar with as Pistons fans watching him night in and night out. But the three-point shooting was good for him as a rookie, 38% on that. So kind of a good sign to start his career. But he was bad, kind of in the Stanley Johnson territory in year two, back to 33%. And, I mean, these are small sample sizes, really, at the end of the day, with a guy playing 10, 16 minutes a game with those first couple years, even the 11 minutes a game he's playing now. So it's not like he's had all sorts of opportunities to make these numbers as, you know, demonstrative of his future abilities as or even present abilities as they're going to be. So he's a threat there. He's back to 33% from three. He's better than Stanley Johnson, obviously, at that point. But as a 7'1" player, a threat there from three-point land, and maybe that's something that's going to improve as time goes on, which is more than Stanley Johnson can say, as we know. A guy who's shooting 29% pretty much every year in his 4 years in the league. nice to pair with Blake Griffin in that regard with Thon Maker. Not as much of a clogger offensively, so it should help the Pistons a little bit there, and we'll see. Obviously, I think he'll get minutes. You know, you got to see what you've got there, and I'm very interested to see what Thon Maker looks like, especially next to Blake Griffin going forward. Obviously, this could be a guy that makes Zaza Pachulia a little bit more expendable this trade deadline, and certainly as you look ahead to whatever kind of backup big man situation that the Pistons will have going into next season, clears up a little bit of that money there. And then Andre Drummond, you know, it brings into question maybe a little bit of his future with this team. And a little bit of insurance, if you're able to move Andre Drummond this summer, or the small possibility that maybe he is moved today before the 3 o'clock Eastern trade deadline. A little bit weak overall on defense for Thon Maker, but can be a disruptor. You know, got that length on the perimeter as well. Maybe a guy who can switch off onto some other guys. In today's NBA, we know that is something that big men need to do. But you got to coach him up. It's going to be a Dwayne Casey project, that's for sure. And we will see how that goes with this team going forward, especially with a nice young piece, which is something that the Pistons have not had. I mean, we talked about how Luke Kennard's kind of the only guy with a young potential, and that's something that the Pistons needed and something that they've been getting here in these last couple days. But up next, we're going to be talking about an unpleasant truth with how these moves have shaked out and what this means for the Pistons in the Eastern Conference playoff hunt. But the Locked On Podcast Network, we're going live today with an NBA trade deadline special today at 1:30 Eastern, live on YouTube on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel, hosted by David Locke and fantasy expert Josh Lloyd, plus all the local experts on the Locked On Podcast Network. We will break down all the deals, give the fantasy perspective, and have all the local angles. It starts today, Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 90 minutes before the trade deadline, on YouTube at the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to hear from some of our voicemailers with their thoughts, but as the trade deadline approaches at 3 p.m. Eastern time today, so there's some other news out there in terms of some deals around the NBA. The big one Wednesday was Otto Porter from the Washington Wizards to Chicago for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. I'm shocked that was the market for Porter. It's indicative that there are not a lot of teams out there trying to get better right now, and if they are, they don't have the cap space and the assets, like the Detroit Pistons, for instance, there, that can really make those kind of deals. Maybe a guy in Otto Porter that Chicago might want to flip this summer, given that Porter's age and salary number doesn't really quite match the timeline for the Bulls, unless they're going to be very aggressive coming up this summer and kind of wrapping up the tank and saying, we're going to take our one high pick this year, match that with Lauri Markkanen, match that with Wendell Carter, and take guys like Otto Porter and maybe even other free agents and really go for it next year. That could be a pretty formidable team going forward. Again, I'm not really quite sure what Chicago's strategy is there with the move, other than, hey, let's maybe get some assets going here. It's an asset play. Get this guy for this cheap. If Otto Porter's available for just two things that we don't really value that much anyway, then let's make this move and figure out the strategy later. I don't necessarily think that was a bad thing. Anytime you can win a trade asset for asset, regardless of what your organizational goals are and where you guys are at in terms of your timeline, I think you can make that deal and figure out the rest later. But there's a lesson there, and that's the value of expiring contracts. Jabari Parker has got a team option of $20 million for next year. Obviously, nobody expects the Washington Wizards to pick that up. But it's indicative that maybe the Pistons, if fans want to be excited, maybe you can get something next trade deadline of real value, a pretty good player in a package for guys like John Luehr and Langston Galloway, or maybe separate those guys for assets in and of themselves, which is a nice thought. And Reggie Jackson, throw him in that mix as well. So when you're thinking about what it would take to dump those guys today, John Luehr, Langston Galloway, Reggie Jackson, et cetera, better to think about what you could get for those guys next year as opposed to what you'd have to give up to get rid of those guys this year. But it's a nice thought to have for the Pistons going forward. Another one, Harrison Barnes to the Kings. Dallas kind of clearing the deck there. A team in Dallas with a real opportunity to be good going forward. And I guess that's what happens when you draft a prodigy like they did this year in Luka Doncic. But yeah, on yesterday's show, as you guys know, I predicted that the Wizards would get the 8th seed and box out Detroit and Miami of the playoffs. I had one guy on Twitter reach out and say, what do you think now? Well, of course, you know, the Wizards, in addition to trading Otto Porter, they also traded Markieff Morris for Wesley Johnson to the New Orleans Pelicans. So it seems like that was just a money move. They were both expiring deals. They're going to shave $2 million off of their luxury tax bill. It might make another move to try to get below the luxury tax, which would be a smart one, obviously, if you're only a few hundred thousand dollars short of it. New Orleans and Washington, two teams that we project that probably are non-playoff teams at this point. So on the surface, it seems like a strange move, but like I said, just kind of clearing the decks of that luxury tax money a little bit there. Kind of an official waving of the flag by Washington in some ways, who played well for a little while, but the news that John Wall would be out for the season and then the subsequent news that he's going to be out for like a whole calendar year, just a bummer and a pall on that organization right now. They started losing a little bit, even with Bradley Beal leading the way, so Otto Porter's gone, Markieff Morris is gone. But, they might be seeing something that the Pistons might not be seeing. And I think that the Pistons – I don't think that the Pistons trading Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson is a complete white flag on the season, but it certainly makes the Pistons worse this year. And just to kind of reset, the Pistons are now 2.5 games ahead of Washington. And it sounds like I said, the Wizards are throwing in the towel a little bit here. Keep in mind that Orlando's kind of still lurking there, tied with Washington as a team that's probably still, you know, going for it in some ways. They're playoff hungry, just like the Pistons are. We haven't seen that Miami is completely throwing in the towel per se, although they made a salary dump of their own with Tyler Johnson and Phoenix. So, you know, you got Miami and Charlotte probably still going for it in addition to the Pistons, although none of those teams are really aggressively going for it unless Charlotte does end up with Marc Gasol here over these next couple hours. But the 8th seed is something that some teams, including Washington and Miami to a lesser extent, and the Pistons to a lesser extent, it doesn't appear that they want to go after that with any kind of aggressiveness. And I think that's smart on all the organization parts. But that comes to my point about the Pistons. They're 1.5 games behind Charlotte and Miami, who are now tied for that 7th and 8th spot in the East. And we've talked tongue-in-cheek about what would happen in the first round if the Pistons did get in. You know, you're talking about Milwaukee or Toronto with the 1 and 2 seeds. Boston, Indiana, and Philly are a little bit further down in the East standings than those 1 and 2 seeds. And the Pistons, to get into that 6th slot and play a third-seeded team, you're now 3.5 games behind Brooklyn right now. Harder to get to that 6th seed. Certainly possible, but harder to get up there. I do believe, and I've always believed, that the Pistons would handily get beaten by Milwaukee and Toronto. No doubt about that, barring an injury to Giannis and Kawhi, of course. You know, something that you can't really count on or can't really hope for, really. But before the deals for Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson, if I'm being completely honest, and I don't think I ever said this on the show, but in the back of my mind, you always have those thoughts, right? You think about it. You think, you know, what if they do get hot? What if they do get a win, get a two? Maybe Milwaukee's kind of looking around saying, is this happening again? Or are we really ready for the playoffs? Or maybe Toronto's, maybe Kawhi's got one foot out the door as things get a little tough in the first round. You know, maybe he's thinking about free agency. Maybe the Toronto crowd turns and says, another playoff disappointment. We got a rookie coach who's maybe not ready for it. What if the Pistons do figure some matchups out? What if they can get this done? What if Stanley Johnson gets in Kawhi Leonard's shorts again? Or what if Giannis gets frustrated with his team and you start putting some doubt into some of those guys' minds? What if Milwaukee shoots it cold? We know how many three-pointers those guys shoot up, and we've seen teams like Boston last year that rely on the threes and get a little cold come playoff time. You get that. You get the optimism that something could happen. Now, at the risk of overstating how important Reggie Bullock was to this team or Stanley Johnson, I think that hope is gone at this point. I think that pipe dream that shooters are going to get hot for a week and pull an upset over the Bucks, however small that those chances were before, I think that those are gone. Milwaukee and Toronto are like almost a 0% chance for the Pistons to beat them now. Where they wasn't high before, you weren't going to beat Milwaukee or Toronto, but who knows? You had that hope, right? But now you like literally can't beat Milwaukee, and I think that that's just a fact. So when you're looking at the lottery and the pick, it's something about the East that's nice. Not only is it easy to make the playoffs if that's what you want to do. And by the way, Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff, I don't think they have enough talent still to make the playoffs in the East with this roster right now. No excuses on that front. I think it's on the coaching staff a little bit, how many games that the Pistons have blown. And we'll do a topic on that sometime soon. We'll go through the list of games that the Pistons have blown this year, and it's a pretty remarkable number. So no free passes to the coaching staff or the team because of these deals that they've made over this week. But with the East, not only that, the East is the gift that keeps on giving. If you miss the playoffs barely, you aren't going to be the worst lottery odds of non-playoff teams. That's because the teams out West that are going to just miss the playoffs, they have a better record than you. So they're further down on the draft list, further down on the lottery chances list. Right now, Sacramento, the Lakers, Dallas, and Minnesota are the teams outside of on the outside of the playoffs. So even though the record of Charlotte and Miami just inside the playoffs is worse than those teams, they're going to be draft position lower than, because all the playoff teams are matched up in the group, and then the lottery teams are on top of that. So there's like a 4-pick swing right now if you just make the playoffs in the East or just fall out of the playoffs in the East. So the Pistons are 10th. And then you got 11th is Minnesota, Dallas, Lakers, and Sacramento before you get to, Brooklyn and Charlotte and Miami there. Sacramento, they're 3.5 games ahead of Detroit, just out of the West playoffs. So all the way down to one game between Minnesota and Detroit there, too. So you're looking at the Clippers. That might be one team that would drop off out of that list, a little bit of a tank going on there now. But Sacramento's going for it. You know, LeBron's going for it. So that's not going to change a whole lot going forward. There's a chance there for the Pistons, if you miss the playoffs, that not only are you giving yourself a chance in the lottery, but you're also bumping yourself up about 3 or 4 spots in the draft, too. And the Pistons right now sitting with the 10th pick, and not great lottery odds at the 10th. You got a 3% chance of Zion and the number one pick. So that's not great. It's not nothing, but it's not something to put your organizational hopes on. 13.9% on the top four. That's pretty good. That's not too bad at the number 10th pick there. But, more importantly, you're looking at a 10th pick, which is, considerably better than a 15th pick in terms of the player you're going to get. 10th picks of the past, you had Mikal Bridges this year, Zach Collins the year before that, Justice Winslow, CJ McCollum. Those guys are recent past guys that have developed into pretty good players. Paul George was the 10th pick of the draft. Joe Johnson was the 10th pick of the draft. Hall of Famer Lindsey Hunter. I mean, there's some guys out there, some dudes you can get with the 10th pick. There's a little bit of benefit there. And just some silver lining. I don't really believe this. I don't think this is something that the Pistons should be really banking on, is missing the playoffs or even pulling a little bit of a tank. But there is some silver lining there in terms of what would happen if the Pistons still missed the playoffs. I think you still make the playoffs. I think you still go for that pick 15, 16, maybe even 14. That's just fine. It's still a quality pick. It's not a gigantic drop-off from the 10th pick in the draft. Look, 15th pick, maybe a little bit more of a flyer, but guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, those guys are 15th picks. Austin Day, Rodney Stuckey, a couple of great players there from Pistons past. And then you go to 16th, you got Vucevic, you got Nurkic, Turkoglu, all the Europeans, but some quality guys there. Ron Artest, of course. Tony Delk, former Piston there. 3 Mills, local guy, friend of the show, was a 16th pick as well. So there is a drop-off from 10 to 15 and 16. Depends on the draft, obviously, but everything we've heard is that this is like a 4-man draft. Some people say it's a 1-man draft. So, not worth the 3% chance on Zion for the mini tank, and it's too late anyways, but there is that silver lining. The 10th pick is better than the 15th or 16th pick. So it's kind of, keep that in mind as a consolation prize, and just hope that the East playoff fringe teams stay as bad as they are compared to the West, and we'll keep an eye on that going forward. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males, more education, and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor the Locked On Pistons podcast. Email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more. We got the voicemailers coming up next. That's next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
This is Jared from Massachusetts. My question is, now with Reggie Bullock having been traded, who do you think makes up the closing lineup for the Pistons? Does Glenn Robinson III take over his spot to provide some defense, Luke Kennard for some shooting, or do we go with a smaller lineup with Ish and Reggie and keep Bruce Brown at the 3? Let me know your thoughts. Thanks.
It's a great question, and thanks, Jared, for calling. Now, look, Dwayne Casey doesn't have a hard and fast closing lineup. Especially now that you take your second-best offensive player out of there. Casey has talked about having players who are playing well at the end of games, and we've seen that. It's not all the time, but we've seen that Ish took Reggie Jackson's minutes early in the season down the stretch. We've seen Langston Galloway in there to close games earlier in the season when he was playing better. We saw Stanley Johnson taking on Kawhi Leonard based on the matchup and some of those guys that he was able to defend to. And I think that as we go on here with Bullock being gone, we're going to see more of that. Certainly you can pencil in Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond for the starting and the closing lineups. But with the wings, and that's the question here, and this goes for the start too, you're probably going to want to have a shooter and a non-shooter out there with the Pistons right now. Unfortunately, they have some players who have some talents, but they don't have all the talents on the wings, and that's the problem and the question for the team going forward. And right, you got Luke, you got Svi, and you got Langston. Those guys are the quote-unquote shooters. So who's hot that game? And I think that you put Luke Kennard kind of should have to be at the front of that list with the chance to prove himself throughout the course of every game. But then you got Bruce and Glenn Robinson III. Those are the non-shooters, right? And I do think that Glenn Robinson III will get a chance to get some more minutes as the season kind of wraps up here. But the interesting one is Khyree Thomas, because he's the one guy that you could argue is both. He's got the all-around game that hopefully continues to develop. I think you'll see him get a shot. I think you'll see him get more minutes than you might expect going forward, especially maybe even closing some games as well, as Khyree is kind of the reasonable, closest facsimile to the skills that Reggie Bullock brought to the Pistons. So let's go to the next voicemail.
Hey, Matt. This is Andy from Ann Arbor. I'm talking, of course, about the Reggie Bullock and the Mekhi Luke trade. I think this trade is terrible in a vacuum. If it is part of a larger overall picture, then fine. But as it stands right now, without any other context, I think it's garbage. It's not that I feel that trading Reggie Bullock was a bad move. I agree with you that it was something that needed to happen. But I think when you compare it to the deal that Cleveland got for Rodney Hood when they traded him to Portland, this deal for the Pistons looks terrible. To get only one draft pick back and a guy who could barely even crack the rotation in Los Angeles is really, really bad. I would have liked to have seen them at least get two picks, if not a first-round pick. So I think that they really had an opportunity to sell high on Reggie Bullock, and instead they sold medium to low, which is just garbage. I'm not sure that this team has any idea what they're doing, but regardless, it's garbage. What is not garbage, though, is the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm a huge fan. Thanks for everything you do.
Andy from Ann Arbor, my guy, really appreciate the sentiment there. Svi, as far as not cracking the rotation in Los Angeles, we all agree here that Khyree Thomas is a prospect for the Pistons, but he's not really cracking the rotation here, and we don't have LeBron James playing ahead of him. We have bad wings, and he's not playing right now. So when you're kind of analyzing what Svi not cracking the rotation for the Lakers means for his future prospects as a rotation player, keep in mind that this is a second-round rookie. So, you know, there is a ceiling there, so it's not like a guy that you can kind of plug and play right away. I don't think Svi is going to come in here and be an impact player for the Pistons on day one, but it's projectable. It's a guy that you hope that improves in the offseason after being in the NBA for 1 year and kind of takes that going forward and is a guy that you can kind of build on and see where his career takes you. And I criticized the Pistons about the Rodney Hood package too and missing that, but here's a point that I made on Twitter on Wednesday. I think that as far as singular assets, Svi is more valuable than anything that Portland or Detroit got when you throw in all the parts of the Hood and Bullock packages that the Pistons and Trailblazers got. Now, certainly, like Andy says, and he's correct, the two picks instead of the one is better for Portland, and obviously the Lakers pick we expect to be at the back part of the second round. But those are second-round picks. Let's not act like these are a big deal. Obviously, the more the better. But they're second-round picks. I think that the Bruce Brown and Khyree Thomas situations maybe have us outsizing the importance of second round picks a little bit. Now, the double draft that might be coming in 2020, that might be the one outlier. If you have some of the high school kids going straight in that first year, including maybe Bates from Ypsilanti, I don't think he's ready for that year. But the whatever year that double draft's going to be is an important one to have some picks. It would behoove the Pistons to get into that draft in a major way and not give up those assets, which, by the way, you've already given up your second-round pick for that draft. Thanks, Stan Van Gundy, for that. But when we're talking about that Portland package, Stauskas and Wade Baldwin, I may have overstated just the importance of those guys, and they've already been moved, by the way. Again, if those guys are good, the Pistons can go out and get guys like that in free agency this summer. But I think with Zvi, he's 21 years old. He has a chance to become a real guy for the Pistons. Wade and Nick, I mean, those guys have ceilings of back-of-the-rotation players at best. Zvi, and I don't think, you know, don't get his bust ready in Springfield, Massachusetts quite yet, but I think that there could be something more there with Zvi. I think he could be more than just a back-of-the-rotation guy for you going forward. But we'll find out starting together, hopefully, on Friday if he's in the lineup at home against the New York Knicks. But first, we got the 3 p.m. Eastern trade deadline today. We will do an emergency podcast if something big happens. Otherwise, we'll have a wrap-up tomorrow. Thanks to all the callers there with the voicemails. Keep those coming at 810-666-1546. Remember, 1:30 p.m. Thursday today is the Locked On Show. Check that out on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball YouTube channel, a live show for the trade deadline. But again, this is your host, Matt Shook. Thanks to all you guys for spreading the word. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.